You singing well? Have you had a good week?
Yes.
Oh, well done. All right, very positive. I just want you to put your hands, one hand, sorry, not two. Just put your hand in the air. You can participate if you want, it's really good. Put your hand in the air. Keep it up. If you don't worry, if you don't get concerned, if you don't get anxious, oh, maybe you two need to come to the front and speak. So we all do. We all go through times of being anxious and worrying. Some of us will get a gold medal if there was such a competition on getting anxious and worry. So this morning, it's going to be a bit of a word of instruction, but then also looking at a point of action in how does God want us to deal with things that we find heavy and things that we go through from day to day. Years ago, when we first got married, Ruth used to say to me, once she'd taken the false teeth out and a wig off and a false leg off and didn't recognise it at all, she used to say to me, "You go to sleep because I'm going to sit up and worry for a bit." We're very, very good at worrying. And this morning, I want us to understand more than anything else just how much God loves and cares for you and I, because he watches you and I really carry some stuff. So this morning, it's just a word of encouragement and a practical word. We're going to be looking through a book called Philippians. Maybe next Sunday night, we'll look at chapter 1. But it's a great book, and it's full of joy and rejoicing. On every page, it's an incredible book. And Paul's not writing from a beach covered in suntan lotion. Paul is writing this letter from a dirty, smelly, dark prison cell. And he kind of just overflows with joy and with praise. So if you're a groaner and you like to moan, then this book is for you. It's a real tonic, especially going through tough times. So this morning, it's not theology or doctrine or an exegesis or systematic teaching. It's a word of instruction. And this is not optional, not the words that we're going to be looking at. But this will depend on how far it will go in you and I. You know, sometimes when we sit in meetings and Bible studies and we can reel it off and we've got it all stored, but it never really changes us. And God speaks to us to transform you and I. God's word is really powerful. Sometimes we can be what I would call a spiritual starver. In other words, we would only kind of do our Christian stuff on a Sunday. We would hardly read or listen to God during the week. And it's what we would call being a spiritual starver. Practically, if you're looking at it from a food point of view, you'll soon get to know that I love my food. I praise God every day for my taste buds. Apart from celery, I can say that because Joyce isn't here. But really, I'm too busy during the day to eat. Spiritually, I am starving myself. So sometimes we can be spiritual starvers. Then we can be what I would call a Bible nibbler. Sometimes wake up on a morning looking at a daily bread, and that's about it. I hardly pray. And sometimes you and I just nibble at the Bible. It's a bit like, practically, if you're looking at food-wise, I snack during the day on a Mars bar and crisp. It's not really that good for me. But it'll just see me through the day. And then we can be a greedy gobbler. That's what I am with my food. I wolf it down. It never touches the sides. Carol will tell you that. Especially with those scones. But we can do that biblically. We wake up on a morning and we think, oh, I'm just going to read 4 or 5 chapters. And we'll plow through it. And after an hour, we forgot what we've read because it's never touched the sides. We never taste anything. And even food-wise, practically, we can be like that. We can wolf down this food, never touches the side, and never taste anything. Or we can be a healthy chewer, where you and I meditate, we pray, we spend time with God. His word gets into our blood. It gets into our heart. It gets into our mind. God speaks to us. And if you're like me, you like your food. Now I can just sit, and I love a three-course meal. And I love every part of it. My taste buds are engaged. I'm enjoying it. It's pleasure. So I wonder where you are this morning. Would you class yourself as a spiritual starver or even a Bible nibbler or maybe a greedy gobbler? Or are you a healthy chewer? God speaks, and he's speaking to us all the time. Being anxious, fretting, worry. Oh my word, we are fantastic at it, aren't we? It's the biggest killer in America. This world called stress, the negative type of stress. Sometimes we feel as though we're so busy, we're not getting anywhere. It's a bit like sat on a rocking horse. We kind of feel as though we're moving, but we're not really getting anywhere at all. Someone said this years ago, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Are you a worrier? Are you a carrier? Are you improving and growing in that area? This is what I think most of us do, sometimes including me. I will be in a prayer meeting and I know God's speaking to me and I will pray and I'll rise from my prayer and I'll be like a Michael McIntyre and I'll skip along because I feel really free and great. And then after a while, day after, I'm kind of back to normal. And it's because I've prayed with an elastic prayer. God knows I've meant good, but I don't know how to give God my worries and my cares. And again, I want us to really get to grips with this, that God loves you and I, and he cares for you and I, and he watches you and I. We carry stuff because often we don't know how to give him things, and then to take our hands off. This is really from personal experience. So if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I don't want to go into all the history of why this book was written, etc., etc., maybe next week. But we're going to be looking from verse 4, and this is what it says. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men that the Lord is near." Then we come to this verse that years ago I didn't particularly like, because it said these words, "Be anxious for nothing." Paul, you are having a joke. Paul, you're having a laugh. That is just not on. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, then dwell on these things." And then it says this, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's just look at just a few words before we move into something really, really practical. Being anxious for nothing. Even the word anxious don't sound nice, does it? It's got a real negative tone to it. Listen to this quote. "Anxiety is a stream of fear trickling through the mind. If it's encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all the other thoughts are drained." Well over half of what you and I worry about will never happen. So why on earth do we worry about stuff that most times it's never going to take place? It's never ever going to happen. It's a thinking pattern that sometimes you and I get into. When you see a a farmer in his tractor, and he comes out of his field, he's going onto a kind of a mud lane. What this guy will do, and you'll know it if you've been on one or you've seen a farmer, he'll come out of his gate and he'll go into some ruts that tractor has always used to going down. And God, by his Spirit, wants to smooth them ruts in our lives so that we just don't keep entering in to them same things that we have done for years and years. You and I can be experts at worrying. Outwardly, we look great, but God knows inwardly what we carry, what we chew on. In Yorkshire, we had a phrase. Well, lots and lots of phrases, but one in particular, and my dad always used to say this to me. And this is when I was at school. Pete, pull your socks up, lad. Have you ever heard that phrase? Pull your socks up, lad. And sometimes I've heard the whisper of God say, Pete, pull the socks up in your mind. Get to grips here with my word. I am for you. I love you. I care for you. There's things I want to teach you here. Let me come to prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So the subject of prayer is everything. God wants us to talk to him about absolutely everything. Praying in the Spirit, being real and being honest with God. Then it talks about supplication, and this word means pray like you mean it. Don't be half-hearted. Really seek me. And then we come to what I would call the key. To pray with thanksgiving, that's got like a tone of praise in it. And how many times do you and I pray with thanksgiving? Sometimes we'll moan and groan at God. Sometimes we'll tell God off. Sometimes we tell him how difficult it is. But here, this is one of the keys to unlock things. Actively giving thanks to God. In other words, I'm going to keep smiling because I know that God's going to come through for me. So, Lord, I'm going to praise you. We're very good at telling God what's on our hearts. And he already knows what we're going to say. So I'm going to encourage you by saying this. It's not just telling God our problems. It's sometimes telling our problems how big God is. And that puts things into a real proper perspective. I'm not just going to tell you God, because you already know. So I'm going to tell my problems, hey, do you know how big God is to handle this? I'm just flipping the other side of the coin here. Requesting, asking why. Again, God already knows. But in relationships, God will often answer us when we speak to him. I don't know how prayer works. All I know that it does is when you and I really begin to speak to God. And then we come to this lovely word called peace. Just look at what it says here. And the peace of God will guard what? Your heart and your mind. God knows what he's talking about, you know, because these two things are the most vulnerable, weakest part of us. We've got people with heart problems, heart attacks and stress. We've got things going off here that kind of, the battle's always here. And yet God says, when you put my word into practice, when you believe it, when you live it, let it get into your blood, then my peace will guard your heart and your mind. How great is that? And I don't mean to say that we're just going to live a carefree life, sort of dilly-dally and blasé, because God's in control, because God's also given to us responsibility. And we need positive challenges. There's a right kind of stress because some things we need to learn and grow through. But Paul here is kind of encouraging the church, don't accept the junk. All the stuff that drain you and I, that saps our energy, that gives us headaches, things that we wake up in the morning and it's still there. You know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I still kind of go through some of those times. Hudson Taylor, you've heard of this guy. Listen to what he says. He got to a place in God where he could say, whatever doesn't ruffle God doesn't ruffle me. That's quite powerful, isn't it? Whatever don't bother God Don't bother me. This is what Spurgeon said. What is God's peace? It's the unruffled serenity of the infinitely happy God. The eternal composure of the absolutely well-contented God. And God has given to us commands. He's given to us his word to act upon, to live by. And sometimes you and I really, really struggle. So I want you to just turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 3. Let's just look at this. Mark chapter 3. Verse 1, he entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he could heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward, okay? Well, he could do that. He could maybe get off the floor, he had legs, he could do that. But don't forget, his hand was withered. There was no life in it, no strength, no nothing. Verse 4, and he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill it? But they kept silent. Verse 5, after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. I wonder what your response would have been if you would have been that man. I can't, Lord. You know I can't. I can't do it. Read the next verse. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Sometimes you and I, it's the act of faith to kind of get God's word into us. Sometimes you and I feel so heavily burdened. We never think we're going to get out of this. We never think we're going to get through this. And yet the Lord, he instructs us and he says, I want your burdens. I want all your anxious stuff. I want every worry that you have. Why? Because I have not created you to carry it. So I want you to stretch out your hand. I want you to give to me. I want you to cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And there's nothing worse than a bloke, and believe me, I'm going to say I've been a bloke, but you know what I mean. I am a bloke and I go through things and I can handle anything. I'm rock hard. Bring it on. Pile it on. And God's word is for every man and for every woman, every teenager, everyone who can understand this stuff. Usually just by faith. Okay, just for the sake of time. Raise your hand. Well done, Kerry. Fantastic. Got one person with me. Raise your hand if, raise your hand. You're thinking, oh my word, what's he going to do? Well done, ladies. Okay. Raise your hand if you think the next person, the person sat outside of you, will be fantastic in a pantomime. Put your hand up if you think that person will be brilliant in a pantomime. Oh, yeah. Okay, keep your hand up or reach it higher because I'm looking for a volunteer. If you think that that person next to you would be a perfect donkey in a pantomime. Myra, well done. I think your hand was the highest. So, Fergus, if you can just come on down, please. I just need a bit of an assistance. Some Greek words have got pictures with them. Like the word blessed, which hopefully we're going to be looking at in a few months' time, of a blessed life and a blessed church. So this word blessed, don't panic. All right, okay. Yep. The picture of it is, in the Middle East, is a man sat under his olive tree, a sign of prosperity, watching his wife and his kids play. It's a beautiful picture of the word being blessed. I want you to turn to your Bibles, please. It's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. You will know this off by heart if you've been in Sunday school or your memory Bible verses. Sorry, Fergus, if you can just come down here, that'd be great. This is what it says. It's just a small verse, but God taught me so much when I was a pastor of a church in the Middle East where church were growing. It grew from 200 to 1,200 people. God was doing some amazing stuff. And I was a youth pastor as well as a senior pastor. And oh, man alive, I felt like a lot of weight were on me. And God taught me such a lot from this verse. And I'm just going to be really personal. This is what it says. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. So Fergus, if you can just go down on all fours, please, just like a donkey. Thank you for being a great sport. Brilliant. In the Middle East, you all right down there? Okay, all right. Don't get carried away and start doing press-ups and showing off, okay? The picture of cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you, is simply this. It's putting a blanket on a donkey. That's the picture. That's it. The weight of this blanket on the donkey is nothing. But in the Middle East, where it was scorching hot all the time, it kind of, you wrap it around you and made you feel uncomfortable, and it was hot and I got edgy. You know what I mean? Worrying and anxious and, oh my word, I can't get rid of this. That's what it feels like. It feels like you've got a blanket around you when you're being anxious and you're worrying. And God says, I want you to just cast all your care upon me because I care for you. Our worries, anxious thoughts, all the things that chew us up is nothing to God. And yet for you and I, it becomes very, very heavy. And do you know what we're good at? When we throw this blanket, you all right there, mate? What we do is we pull the threads. We do, don't we? Because sometimes we just can't let go of stuff. Thank you. Cheers, mate. Do you want to hand up? Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. My son is a youth pastor in Harrogate. And he went through a really tough time where he suffered badly with anxiety. I couldn't understand it, not the depth that he went through. And I really felt for him. And he went through this for quite a while. We used to get phone calls at night, phone calls in the day. He's a youth worker, he's a great guy, very talented, very funny. But this was just weighing on him. He's just about at the back end of it. And he's learnt a lot. And he said to me not too long ago, he says, Dad, he says, I've kind of figured out quite a bit of what I've gone through and why I've gone through it. And the way that God's been teaching me and speaking to me. And right at the root of all his anxiousness was the word unforgiveness. And I said to him, Luke, what do you mean by that? He says, well, quite a few people I needed to forgive. And it were building. And the church where he was previous, I don't think it meant to, but it kind of hurt him. And some of the people within the church hurt him. Some things in our lives build up. We're very good at kind of shoving them away, not really dealing with them. Peter, remember Tom Hamlin? Obviously, you're good friends with Tom. I met Tom in the Middle East, and I want to share this with you. Tom went out to Africa. This was a guy who just smuggled Bibles into Yemen and Saudi Arabia. He was an incredible guy. But he was asked to go and speak in Africa, and he accepted this invitation, got to Africa, got to this massive village, and he walked into this church. It was a massive, big mud hut. It was filled with hundreds of people. And at the back of the church, there were all these leaders, these elders of the church, all there with the spears and the shields. And he just thought, wow, this is incredible. And he's thinking, he thought, what do they really know? So Tom walks to the front and he begins to preach. And after 5 minutes, he looks down at these leaders, these elders, and one of them stood there shaking his head. And he actually calls Tom from the front of the church to come to the back of the church. And Tom thought, oh my word, what's going on? So he left the pulpit and he walked down. And one of the leaders said, Tom, something's wrong. You have a stony heart. Something's wrong. God is not using you. Not like we've prayed. And as soon as that elder said this to Tom, Tom realized that God was speaking to him about something that he was carrying. And he'd been carrying it for a while. And so he stepped out of this place. He'd really got it right with God. He came back in and God began to move. Tom had tried to bury things. And again, we're very good at that. So listen to these words again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication. Remember the key, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that goes way beyond our understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. So this morning, just before we go into communion, I think it's right just have a time where you and I can really put the blanket on the donkey, so to speak. We can really cast everything upon him. This is the God who holds the universe together. This is the God who knows us better than we know ourselves. And this morning, just waiting for you and I to give to him, to hand over things to him. All your anxious thoughts, all the things that you struggle with, all the things that you're going through that nobody else knows about. It's our opportunity this morning, being in the presence of God, to do that. So before we sing, let's just have maybe a time of quiet. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I've come to give you this morning all the things that trouble me. It's hurting, it's heavy. And at your invite, I've come to hand it over. Lord, you know I've been holding on to things. I've been pulling at the threads and help me to let go. Lord, for the first time, I've come to realize that you love and care for me. I need you. And it might be that you just want to come to the front and let somebody just pray for you. So as we do that, let's just meet with our risen Lord. Let's cast all of our cares upon him.